Well, if you make soap, you got to start out, you got to get you an open pot, a wash pot. An old-timey wash pot's what you need, about a 30-gallon. You put in 2 gallons of water to start with. Get you about 4 or 5 cans of lye. You don't know what lye is, do you?
No.
That's a real poison. It is strictly poison. You can't get it on your hands. You can't breathe it. You can't do nothing. But you dissolve that in the water.
How'd you do it without getting...
Well, you get your stick, stand back away from it, a long stick, and stir that into the water, that lye, until you get it all dissolved. This is a white, looks like salt. But don't get none of it on you, because it's poison. It'll go right through your skin or anything. And when you get it dissolved in that 2 gallons of water, take your red meat, either beef or pork or something like that, and cut it up in little chunks about 2 inches square. And just put it in there. Just keep stirring. Just put it in there. And as you put it in there, that lye will dissolve it. And directly you've got nothing but just boiling hot water. And that lye and meat is all just, it's done made of soup. It's just boiling. But you cook it about 30 minutes to an hour like that. Then move it far away from the pot and let it cool down, and get your butcher knife and cut your soap out when it gets cold overnight. Just let it cool and you'll have a wash pot full of lye soap. That's all there are to it.
What, tell me about your
schools
when you went to school.
Oh, when we went to school? Well, we started out, we was walking about 7 miles. When I was 7 years old, we walked about 7 miles, evening and morning, morning and evening. Rain or shine, we made it every day, just about it. And you may not think you get tired, but you do, and it takes a long time. It's an old county road, so all we had to walk. It didn't have a highway to walk on. We had this an old dirt, sandy road, and you walk in that. You get you. After the first year, you got 2 or 3 extra books, and then you had to bring all your books home at night. You didn't leave none of school. You had a regular satchel for them, a regular book care thing to put them in. You put them books in that and hooked them over your shoulder, and you carried your books in. When you got home, you studied your lesson for the next day. You didn't play. You got busy and studied on your lesson until you got it. And then you could go play if it wasn't dark. Most time it was dark. This time here it was dark. You didn't have time to play none. There wasn't no play. And you get all your lessons and everything, and then you would go to bed and sleep and get up early the next morning. They're taking up school at 9 o'clock sharp. School bell rang at 9, and you folks would be in line. If you wasn't, you were tardy. If you didn't make it in time.
What'd they do when you were tardy?
Well, they didn't do anything but just maybe dock your grade a little bit or make you get fuss at you a little. But whenever you leave out of the morning, you had 2 hours to make the 7 miles. You had to skip along pretty good. You could play along here and there and stop, look at things, but you had to keep pretty well moving on to make it in 2 hours. You couldn't stop somewhere and put up for 2 or 3 hours because you'd be late for school. And whenever you was late for school, they'd write a little note and send it home that evening. And Mama would read that note and said, "How come you didn't make it?" Said, "You left same time you always did." Well, you had to tell her every minute of the time that you spent going from home to school what you done. You didn't have no excuses. It was just that. And they better be pretty good ones, because after the second time, you'd liable to get a paddling. You'd switch on you. If you got mean in school and got a good paddling in school, when you got home, you got another one. Just as soon as you got home, you got another one. As soon as she found it out, she'd find it out, too. So the teacher generally sent a note by you. You'd have to carry that note and give it to her. And if you had done something mean enough to get a whooping, well, whenever she found out the teacher whooped you, well, she'd give you about twice as big a whooping. Right there on the spot. You didn't wait till the next day. It was right then. Wasn't unusual to get a whooping and see a few bloody spots on your leg because you had to roll your britches leg up. Now, they didn't just peck on you. They whooped the fur out of you. They just didn't have none of this running around here, not going to school. Whenever you go to school, you went to school. We finally moved down there about a mile and about a little over a mile from the schoolhouse. But we could make it easy then. We could have to leave at 8 o'clock. We had an hour to make that mile. It's about for him here down there to Monk's. It wasn't hardly for him to Monk's Warner Station. Well, we could make that plumb easy. A lot of times I'd stay right there till 15 to 9 and then jump out there and run all the way to school now. But there wasn't no excuse for being tardy because the teacher would come to see about it. She'd tell your parents about it. And they didn't take no for answer. You just should have been there and you should have made it in time.
What were your teachers like?
She was a real good teacher, Miss Florence Walters. She, nearly all the schooling I got, I went to her. I started going to her, and so I went through the sixth grade, and then her husband was in there from the sixth to the 12th, and we moved in there and finished out. And then after I stayed in there a year or two, Miss Florence taking over the 12th grade, and somebody else taking the sixth grade down. And she was in there, and I finished all the schooling I made under her, all except 1 or 2 years. She was a good teacher, and she treated you fair, and she would give you a good chance to learn something. And if you wanted to do something, she would sit down and tell you how to get your lesson. And I didn't think there was anybody like her. But now, if you was talking during time the school was taken up in the school period, if you was in there and chunking paper balls and talking, wouldn't be still where the other kid could study. She'd lead you right over in the corner and draw a ring and let you stand there with your nose in the ring till it's recess, and you'd stay in and she'd have your lesson. And when they come back in, you'd stand over that day with your nose in the ring. You stood there right there by the wall. You didn't move around. You stood right there. There was a bunch of mean ones. There was a bunch of them always getting into it every day. But I soon learned that it wouldn't do. But she was real good, and they just better not play no tricks on her, you know, or something like that would cause trouble, because she would sure get them. An old boy to chew up a big wad of paper about 3 pages like that, get in his hand, and somebody sitting across the room, he'd catch him looking the other way, and he'd whop him upside the head with it, knock him clean out of the seat. She was up there. You may not think she was looking, but she could see him. She'd point right at us and come up here, get him up there. She'd give him a thrashing to make him stand there the rest of that day with his nose in the ring. He just drew a little ring about that big, and he stood with his nose in that ring now against the wall. He didn't back up and stomp around and look around. He stood right there. He didn't look nowhere, but right there all day. And when it'd get recess, the rest of them would go outside for recess. Well, he would go have his lessons. That's when you'd have your lessons. He'd have you in there giving you, letting you get your book learning. And there wasn't no kidding. It was that every day, as long as you didn't mind. She didn't have too much trouble. Some of them was pretty rough and rowdy, but they wasn't too bad.
How do you witch for water?
Well, you cut you a willow limb, a forked willow limb, with the forks about that long on it. Well, it goes together like that, you know, come together, you got a handle on it down here. Well, turn that handle around, that part that's sticking out there, you know, the one part, and you got the prongs. Well, take them and catch them like that and hold them straight out in front of them and walk with them. And when you cross water, that stick will turn down. And You can't hold it because it'll break it or go down whenever there's water there. But if you cross a water vein of water under the ground, peach tree limb will do the same thing. But you take that forked limb and hold it. And when you go out through there, when you cross that water, it'll point down. And that's where the water's at. That's where they used to dig these wells in the country when they... I dug a lot of wells when I was growing up, going to school. They paid $1 a foot for it, and I'd dig them a 30-foot well. I could dig one in 30 days. I'd make a lot of money at it. It was dangerous work. It'd liable cave in on you. But I dug lots of wells, and I could dig 10 or 12 foot in a day easy. And I'd dig them on the weekends when I get time, you know. It'd be holidays and stuff. I made enough like that to pretty well go in school. But I wanted well dug, well, I would dig on it maybe an hour or two a day. If I could get time in the evening, I'd dig an hour or two, and, you know, when I could get time. And I made good money at it. And up in that country, you could get water around 20 to 30 feet nearly anywhere. Always plenty of good water, just 20 or 30 feet. Now, most times, about 25, 30 feet. I'd grab me a willow limb and take off with it. And I'd go out yonder and I'd come back across there. When it's there, I'd pull it down. I'd go back over yonder and come over. When I'd get that, when I'd cross that vein of water, well, I'd draw my circle and start digging. And I dug all day, every day, for about 3 or 4 days, well, I'd have him a well of water. He'd draw him a drink of water. Well, then dig it down there and base it out. And I dug one time for a shingle mill. We had a shingle mill. I dug it 38 foot. And he got quitting, and it was what they call damp in them. It would make you have the awfulest headache you ever seen. Now, it would just nearly kill you. It did kill lots of people. But that was real bad after about 40 feet, and I had dug it 47 feet. Well, my head hurt so bad when they drawed me out of it, I left my shovel and pick down there. I didn't bring them up with me. I just, you know, I just rode the bucket, come up, but I just nearly fainted when I hit the fresh air. I was just about gone. But the next morning, you could dip water out of the well with a bucket. It was come clear to the top. The next morning, it broke in that night. I'd take me some hooks, made me some hooks to catch my shovel and pick handle, and I let them down there to the bottom of the well. I let them up against it, and I reached down and pulled them up and got them out. I didn't go down in that well anymore, but that's how much water was in that well. It'd come up where you could stand there and dip it out with a bucket.
What kind of signs do you look for when you plant?
Plant? Well, now then. Well, if you make soap, you got to start out. You got to get you an open pot, a wash pot. An old-timey wash pot's what you need, about a 30-gallon. You put in 2 gallons of water to start with. Get you about 4 or 5 cans of lye. You don't know what lye is, do you?
No.
That's a real poison. It is strong. strictly poison. You can't get it on your hands, you can't breathe it, you can't do nothing. But you dissolve that in the water.
How'd you do it without getting...
Well, you get your stick, stand back away from it, a long stick, and stir that into the water, that fly, until you get it all dissolved. It's a white, looks like salt. But don't get none of it on you, because it's poison. And it'll go right through your skin or anything. And when you get it dissolved in that 2 gallons of water, take your red meat, either beef or pork or something like that, and cut it up in little chunks about 2 inches square. And just put it in there, just keep stirring, just put it in there. And as you put it in there, that lye will dissolve it. And directly you've got nothing but just boiling hot water. And that lye and meat is all just, it's done made of soup. It's just boiling. But you cook it about 30 minutes to an hour like that. Then move it far away from the pot and let it cool down. And get your butcher knife and cut your soap out when it gets cold overnight. Just let it cool and you'll have a wash pot full of lye soap. That's all there are to it.
Tell me about your school when you went to school.
Oh, when we went to school? Well, we started out, we was walking about 7 miles. That's when I was 7 years old. We walked about 7 miles, evening and morning and evening. Rain or shine, we made it every day, just about it. And you may not think you get tired, but you do, and it takes a long time. Just an old county road, all we had to walk. It didn't have a highway to walk on. We had just an old dirt, sandy road, and you walk in that. You get you, after the first year, you got 2 or 3 extra books, and then you had to bring all your books home at night. You didn't leave none of school. You had a regular satchel for them, a regular book care thing to put them in. You put them books in that and hooked them over your shoulder. And you carried your books in. When you got home, you studied your lesson for the next day. You didn't play. You got busy and studied on your lesson until you got it. And then you could go play if it wasn't dark. Most time it was dark. This time here it was dark. You didn't have time to play none. There wasn't no play. And you get all your lessons and everything, and then you would go to bed and sleep and get up early the next morning. They're taking up school at 9 o'clock sharp. School bell rang at 9 and you were supposed to be in line. If you wasn't, you was tardy. If you didn't make it in time.
What'd they do when you were tardy?
Well, they didn't do anything but just maybe dock your grade a little bit or make you get fuss at you a little. But whenever you leave out of the morning, you had 2 hours to make the 7 miles. You had to skip along pretty good. You could play along here and there and stop, look at things, but you had to keep pretty well moving on to make it in 2 hours. You couldn't stop somewhere and put up for 2 or 3 hours because you'd be late for school. And whenever you was late for school, they'd write a little note and send it home that evening. And Mama would read that note and say, "How come you didn't make it?" Said, "You left same time you always did." Well, you had to tell her every minute of the time that you spent going from home to school what you done. You didn't have no excuses. It was just that. And they better be pretty good ones, because after the second time, you'd liable to get a paddling. You'd switch on you. If you got mean in school and got a good paddling in school, when you got home, you got another one. Just as soon as you got home, you got another one. As soon as she found it out, she'd find it out too. So the teacher generally sent a note by you. You'd have to carry that note and give it to her. And if you had done something mean enough to get a whooping, well, whenever she found out the teacher whooped her, well, she'd give you about twice as big a whooping. Right there on the spot. You didn't wait till the next day. It was right then. Wasn't unusual to get a whooping and see a few bloody spots on your leg because you had to roll your britches leg up. Now, they didn't just peck on you. They whooped the far out of you. And they just didn't have none of this running around here not going to school. Whenever you go to school, you went to school. We finally moved down there about a mile and about a little over a mile from the schoolhouse. But we could make it easy then. We'd get up and leave at 8 o'clock. We had an hour to make that mile. It's about for him here down yonder to Monk's. It wasn't hardly for him here to Monk's Warner Station. Well, we could make that plumb easy. A lot of times I'd stay right there till 8:45 and then jump out there and run all the way to school now. But there wasn't no excuse for being tardy because the teacher would come to see about it. She'd tell your parents about it. And they didn't take no for answer. You just should have been there and you should have made it in time.
What were your teachers like?
She was a real good teacher. Miss Florence Walters. Yeah, nearly all the schooling I got, I went to her. I started going to her, and so I went through the sixth grade, and then her husband was in there from the sixth to the 12th, and we moved in there and finished that. And then after I stayed in there a year or two, Miss Florence taking over the 12th grade, and somebody else taking the sixth grade down, and she was in there, and I finished all the schooling I made under her. Except 1 or 2 years. She was a good teacher, and she treated you fair, and she would give you a good chance to learn something. And if you wanted to do something, she would sit down and tell you how to get your lesson. And I didn't think there was anybody like her. But now, if you was talking during time the school was taken up in the school period, if you was in there and chunking paper balls and talking, wouldn't be still where the other kids could study, she'd lead you right over in the corner and draw a ring and let you stand there and nose in the ring till it's recess, and then you'd stay in and she'd have your lesson. And when they come back in, you'd stand over that day with your nose in the ring, and you stood there right there by the wall. You didn't move around, you stood right there. They was a bunch of mean ones. They was a bunch of them always getting into it every day. But I soon learned that it wouldn't do. She was real good, and they just better not play no tricks on her, you know, or something other that would cause trouble, because she would sure get them. The old boy would chew up a big wad of paper about 3 pages like that. Get in his hand and somebody sitting across the room, he'd catch him looking the other way and he'd whop him upside the head with it, knock him clean out of his seat. And she was up there, you may not think she was looking, but she could see him. I see him point right at him, said, come up here. Get him up there. She'd give him a thrashing, make him stand there the rest of that day with his nose in the ring. He'd just draw a little ring about that big, and he stood with his nose in that ring now against the wall. He didn't back up and stomp around and look around. He stood right there. He didn't look nowhere, but right there all day. And when it'd get recess, the rest of them would go outside for recess. Well, he would go have his lessons. That's when you'd have your lessons. He'd have you in there giving you, letting you get your book learning. And there wasn't no kidding. It was that every day, as long as you didn't mind. She didn't have too much trouble. There was some of them was pretty rough and rowdy, but they wasn't too bad.
How do you winch for water?
How do you winch?
Winch for water.
Well, you cut your willer limb, a forked willer limb, with the forks about that long on it. Well, it goes together like that, you know, come together, you got a handle on it down here. Well, turn that handle around, that part that's sticking out there, you know, the one part, and you got the prongs. Well, take them and catch them like that and hold them straight out in front of them and walk with them. And when you cross water, that stick will turn down. And you can't hold it because it'll break it or go down whenever there's water there. If you cross a water, a vein of water under the ground, peach tree limb will do the same thing. But you take that forked limb and hold it. And when you go out through there, when you cross that water, it'll point down. And that's where the water's at. That's where they used to dig these wells in the country when they'd I dug a lot of wells when I was growing up, going to school. They paid $1 a foot for it, and I'd dig them a 30-foot well. I could dig one in 3 days. I'd make a lot of money at it. It was dangerous work. It'd have a cave in on you. But I dug lots of wells, and I could dig 10 or 12 foot in a day easy. And I'd dig them on the weekends when I get time, you know. It'd be holidays and stuff. I made enough like that to pretty well go in school. But when I wanted well dug, well, I would dig on it maybe an hour or two a day. If I could get time in the evening, I'd dig an hour or two, and, you know, when I could get time. And I made good money at it. And up in that country, you could get water around 20 to 30 feet nearly anywhere. Always plenty of good water, just 20 or 30 feet. Now, most times, about 25 to 30 feet. I'd grab me a willow limb and take off with it. And I'd go out yonder and I'd come back across there. When it there, I'd pull it down. And I'd go back over yonder and come over. When I'd get that, well, when I'd cross that vein of water, well, I'd draw me a circle and start digging. And about, if I dug all day, every day, for about 3 or 4 days, well, I'd have him a well of water. He'd draw him a drink of water. Well, then dig it down there and base it out. And I dug one time for a shingle mill. We had a shingle mill. I dug it 38 foot. And he got quitting, and it was what they call damp in them. It would make you have the awfulest headache you ever seen. Now, it would just nearly kill you. It did kill lots of people. But that was real bad after about 40 feet, and I had dug it 47 feet. Well, my head hurt so bad when they drawed me out of it, I left my shovel and pick down there. I didn't bring them up with me. I just, you know, I just rode the bucket, come up. Well, I just nearly fainted when I hit the fresh air. I was just about gone. But the next morning, you could dip water out of the well with a bucket. It would come clear to the top. The next morning, it broke in at night. I'd take me some hooks, made me some hooks to catch my shovel and pick handle, and I let them down there to the bottom of the well. I let them up against it, and I reached down and pulled them up and got them out. I didn't go down in that well anymore, but that's how much water was in that well. It'd come up where you could stand there and dip it out with a bucket.
What kind of signs do you look for when you plant?
Plant? Well, now then, go on and look on that little table and get that little yellow book on that end there, that planting guide, and you can see where the sign is at. And it's a moon sign is what it is. But I use a planting guide. Gibson puts out a planting guide that I use now. I used to look at the moon. And I think now it's on first quarter. Tomorrow's a good time to plant a lot of stuff tomorrow. Tomorrow and next day. But you go by the growing of the moon or the full moon or something other, you know. Now she can't find that little book that's sticking right in the end of the table there. It's already. Huh? You like to never found it. I told you right where it was at. This takes all of the guesswork out of this planting here. And well, here it is. Now there's the days. See, look at the month there and see what days are good planting days. Look at February. And the 18th, 19th, and 20th is good planting days. It gives days to plant flowers and days to plant taters and underground stuff, turnips and taters, stuff like that. Corn, peas, stuff, it's days to plant them. But if you want to go by the moon sign, when you do that, you can go back over here. And find the zodiac table you see right here. Now you can see that, these signs right here, and you can look and see what days they're show on the calendar, you know, what days it is. See, in January, now you start here in January, and it'll tell you where these signs is right here on the message. A little... Here's your moon right here, your moon sign, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell where it's at them days, and then you can tell, you have to trace it down to tell where it's at. And if you want to go fishing, you got a fishing guide here, you see. Tell what days to go fishing. So see, you don't have to guess about anything. That works it all out for you. But if you're going to plant with the moon, you can take a birthday almanac. It's better than this one for giving the moon signs, because it shows the lion and the twins and the bull and the crab and the goat, ram they call him, waterman, fishes. That's in the feet. When the sign's in the feet, that's the fish sign. And it gives all that, you see. And you can look at this sign here and then see where the sign is here in your February issue. And then you can turn over here to your planting guide and see where it's at over there, and you can tell what about it. But I don't ever fool with it, because this has got it already figured out. See, it makes it easy. But we used to didn't have that. We didn't have nothing but the moon sign to go by, and you had to figure it out by this right here. See, that's the zodiac sign right there. Read these little things right here, and it'll tell you what each one of them things is. Were the signs in the head, or the heart, or the breast, or and the feet, and the thighs, the knees, wherever the sign's at, the kidneys, the heart. But it tells you where the sign's at that time of the month, you know. You can, on the birthday almanac, on the calendar part, it shows these on each day. Now, whatever it is, whichever one of these the sign is, but you can just look at the calendar and you can see it on a birthday calendar and almanac. That's like we used to get all the time. We didn't get iron this time, but these calendars don't. Some of them do and some don't. That's the way we always planted stuff, you see. You found out when to plant stuff. But it gives you something to go by there. And the signs of the zodiac, that's the moon sign, is what it is. So you see, to save all of this looking it up and fooling with it, for somebody that didn't know what he was doing, well, you just go up and get you one of these little books like this, or get you an almanac, and it gives most of it in any almanac, and you got your signs already figured out for you. They already dated and everything. It tells you what days to plant that stuff. Now, December, you see down here at the bottom, it shows you a whole row of figures down there, when to plant and when not to plant. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
That's on each month. You just got all kinds of references there to go by for planting guide. See, right now in February, you can tell what days it is to plant. If you look right down at the bottom, it tells you days to plant stuff and days not to plant. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes it easy. You don't have no trouble. You can just read it right off of there, and you can plant it them days. And if you want to go fishing, you can look at this right here. And on this one right here, they start on February the 18th, it's poor. The fishing is poor. 16th, 17th, 18th is poor, but on the 19th, it's the very best. The 20th is the best. 21 is the best, and then it's fair for 2 days, and then it's good for 2 days, fair, and then good, and that's the end of the month. See, so if you want to go fishing, now it's time to go from now to last of the month. Then you skip over into March. You start the 1st of March, it's good for the first 2 days, and then it's poor for 2 days, and then it's fair for 2 days, and it's good for 1 day, and it's fair for a day, and it's good for 2 days, and then it's poor for 3 days. And on down, you see. And if you go on them days that it's poor, well, you may not catch none. And it tells you here to where you fish in the morning or evening. It says in the morning or evening. Right now, you on the 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, or 23rd, you fish in the morning. And the 24th, you change over to the evening and go in the evening the rest of the month. That's pretty well panned it down for you, so you know when to go fishing. And so you see, it ain't no big trouble to follow the moon signs when you're planting if you got one of these. And most of them actually got them. This one's a little plainer than any of them. This is Gibson Funeral Home, Gibson Insurance Company, Gibson Memorials, and Gibson Garden of Memories. That's, Gibson puts that one out. That's the way they advertise their business. That makes awful good, and they got enough for everybody to get one there. You know, it's a lives around clothes. A lot of them are way off.
You cut logs all the time. Where was your first log cutting job?
1927. I was going to school in the 10th grade. I just about knew everything.
Where was it at?
What school now?
I meant the first log cutting.
Right there where we lived. Do you know where we moved that first year we was married? We cut right outside the yard fence. That started right there between there and the road. Pine timber right up to the...
Well, say what county? Anderson County? Or
Anderson County, yeah. It was up in Anderson County. Up there at Jarvis, what they call Jarvis, Antioch. Northfield Chapel. But anyhow, Daddy got down and he couldn't help the fellow. They was cutting logs for a mill. It was set up right there close. Just a little piece out there to the mill. Well, I come in the evening, and I'd help him cut logs, you see, in the evening time. But he wanted to cut in the morning. Well, I just brought all my books home and told Miss Florence that I'd come in on one day a week and take an examination, you know, for the whole week. I said, we'll just go through. Well, she said, you can come to the house on Saturday. I said, I'll be at home Saturday. And I'll just give you a test, you know, the weekly test on everything. Now, that was all the books, geography and English and reading and arithmetic, everything. It'd take a long time. It'd take you about 4 or 5 hours.
That's being log cutting.
Huh? Yeah, but that's what I'm telling you. That's the reason I quit school, so I could cut logs. I thought I'd be rich right away. We would make $5, $6, $7 a day by 11 or 12 o'clock. I figured I'd be rich right away, you know. I'd just have plenty of money. But I didn't. I had to take care of the bunch. It was 11 of us in the family, and I had to help feed them, and we just used the money right on. I cut logs there, and I was 14 years old. I was in the 10th grade at 14 years old. But I had made 2 grades a year there for several years. When I was in the 5th grade, well, they had the 6th grade up there working arithmetic, and I could work the problems while they was trying to get them on the board. I'd get over out of board to the side. No, I'd let them, they'd let me over there, you know, but I'd get over there and I'd get me a piece of chalk when she'd give out a problem. Well, they'd all, if she didn't watch them, they'd all copy off of mine because I'd have it just as soon as I'd write it out there. Well, I'd add it up and I'd have it. Well, on geography, they didn't know their geography. They just couldn't learn it. They just couldn't go on it. Well, I could go ahead of the 2 grades ahead of me. I could give her more on a geography in the, if I was in the sixth grade, the ninth grade, I could take care of their geography heap better than they could. And they got the algebra, well, I could work that faster than any of them. I could go with that algebra. That's what we call it in fractions, you know. But I could go with that better than any of them. Oh, I just take that up just like that, and I could work that just in a minute. But I start up in the fall of the year when we start out. I started in the fifth grade. When I quit, I was promoted to the seventh. Well, the next spring, I started in the seventh grade. And that year, when I was promoted, I was going to the eighth grade. I was moving, you know, I would join the classes ahead of me, the class above me. I would everywhere I'd get a chance, well, I'd join in with them, you know. And I didn't have any books. I just studied some of their books, but I would for the reading, I could read faster than any of them. I could just go faster than anybody. Reading wasn't no problem for me. I could always read. But I would make two grades a year there for 3 years. Well, that put me, see, real young. I was fixing to finish out when I was 16 years old. I was going to finish the 12th grade when I was 16. Would have made it easy. I finished to the 11th, and then I never did. Miss Florence moved off from the schoolhouse that year. I didn't have nobody, no teacher, you know, that time, and I didn't have. I just quit school, went cutting logs altogether. I just made it to the 11th, but I was pretty well in the 12th. I could do anything in the 12th that they'd done. I could work any of their problems, any of their arithmetic, geography, English, or anything. I could go any of it just as good as the ones ahead of me could. That's the way I got my education. But I didn't quit schooling whenever I cutting logs. Well, I went on with my book learning, everything that I could find out that I could learn, you know, that I didn't know. Well, I studied for several years until I was 20 years old. Everything that I could find out that I could, you know. And I just liked it. I stayed with it and enjoyed it. I just had a good time. I might sit down and take that book right there and sit there and write everything in that book. Just start here and write just copy it off that book just to be right something. Just get me a just anything, you know. Just pick up anything and just copy it off there and just write everything that's on that. Just write it on a piece of paper just to be a writer. I just liked it. I could do anything like that. And arithmetic, they couldn't lose me. Arithmetic, I didn't care what they did. Now, there just wasn't any problem in arithmetic that I couldn't work. I could work any of them. It didn't make a difference about the fractions or anything. I could just... Well, she put me down with a gallon jug, and we figured how thick it was. And I figured how big around it was, and I figured how much cubic inches was inside that jug. And it didn't take me all day. Just figured. I was real good in arithmetic. They just couldn't lose me in arithmetic any way they tried. And they could give me any of the multiplication tables after I learned them. I don't care which one it is. Any of them. I can tell you just that quick. Just as soon as you tell it, I know what it is. I know the answer to it. 7, 12 is 84, you know. 6, 9 is 54. 6, 7 is 42, just as quick as you say it, well, I know what the answer is, and I don't ever forget it. And if you learn that, well, you've got it all hooked.
Tell us more about your log cutting.
Were you ever in any contests when you cut logs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got here to dive ball, and they had them champion niggers out there cutting. Colored people, now they didn't think anybody could beat them. Well, they wouldn't even let us in it the first year. They didn't, we wasn't even eligible to get in it. And I went to them at the talk, because I said, now listen. I said, they give pretty good prize money up there, and I said, I can whoop any of them out there on that log cutting. I said, there's not a man out there that I'm doubt that I can't double him any day. I don't mean just cut many as he cuts, I mean cut twice as many. Well, Mr. Temple got a hold of Jess and Rich and them. They told him, said, now you fix it for them boys, any of them, white or black, can enter that contest. Well, they done the wrong thing. After the first year, there wasn't nobody entered. If we entered it, there wasn't nobody else come in. They said, oh, they'll win it. Ain't no use getting in. We just whooped their ears down. They couldn't stand it. They just couldn't do it. When we was cutting logs, it's in the company gang when we come to dive ball. It was real good money then if they made 2.5 a day. But we didn't have a bit of trouble making $4 and $5 every day. We'd make just about as much as 2 of them all, any time. Oh, they done lots of talking. They figured they was giving it to us, you know, or something or other. But they wasn't.
Tell me about some of the times when you went to cut wood.
Well, I don't know. I cut 50 years in 2 months. Solid, pretty well. After I started 14, I just went on about 50 years.
Cutting wood.
Well, when I cut and heater wood.
Well,
I moved out here and they did and all this old timber in here and I seen them about cutting some of it and they said, yeah, cut all of it you want. Well, I got to cutting wood for just first one another, though. They liked it, word from one to the other, you know. And directly I had all the wood cutting I could do. I couldn't.